Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, April 28th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command. Have you heard of TDX? Listen, Orbital Command is putting together the Terra DAP Expo on June 9th and 10th in Austin, Texas. Not Boston. I know, that's what I thought. Austin. Austin, Texas. Come get doxxed IRL and share merriments with all of your favorite fellow lunatics and lunatics. For more information, go to terradapexpo.com or hit the menu item on the site right here on terraspaces.org. And as always, be sure to check out Orbital Command online at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For more information, check out terraspaces.org/sponsors. Today on the Ether, Harmony DevDAO and Function Land. Let's take a listen.
Are we recording? We're recording. We got one more. It's good. What's up, Hooch? Safe Moon Army. Okay. Well, I guess. Okay, we got. Okay, I guess they're coming now. So, who wants to go first? Al, do you want to talk a little bit about what this thing is? This box. This function land. Is that correct?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for inviting us. Thanks for inviting us. Thanks for having this space and have a chance to talk about. Box, function land, and
I should say that a lot of people also listen to the space and after it's recorded. Just want to point that out.
Okay, so the idea is just to have a conversation about this thing, like about the space. So when you started, you said Box is a subscription service. And I wanted to point that out that it's actually a subscription-free service. And nice. That's an important part of it. Just continuing and maybe explore a more like hardware and developer angle. Jonathan, do you want to take the mic and say a few words?
Yeah, I'm Jonathan. I'm the hardware electrical engineer for Functionland. Designed a dev kit prototype, which is a scaled down version. It's available on Indiegogo for I think 2 more days. And yeah, any hardware questions, like I will happy answer them, and how the hardware can complement the whole idea of Box and how it works and what's possible in Web3. Any questions, please?
Yeah, so let's just start it up, man. Why is it like in terms of blockchain stuff that there really hasn't been a storage like method in IPFS, right? So for example, there are a lot of storage solutions. I could like name them like Filecoin and so forth, but no one really cares about these newer projects. I mean, what is it that you do versus Filecoin? Why are you better than Filecoin?
I think at least from a hardware perspective that you really own the data on a plug and play system. You don't, if you have old hardware, like you can set any protocol up, set up your own NAS server or anything. But if you're less technically advanced or just too lazy, I am too sometimes, then we provide a plug-and-play solution. You buy Box, you plug in your external drive, your framework modules, anything that's storage or anything else you want to do with it. And you join a pool and that's it. Like your data has been backed up. You can back up people's data and earn money that way, or Fula tokens. We kind of try to deliver the plug and play experience of like Apple TV or setting up your Android phone or anything. Like you just do a few quick steps and that's it. Like it's ready to go. Have fun with it. And I don't think that many companies in Web3, and especially if you look like Web3 in general, it's still a little bit well, not shady, but it's clouded. Like, it's all very technically advanced. It involves crypto, NFTs. Like, it's a one big forest, and people don't really know which way to go. And I think that if we deliver a standard for hardware... I think
you make a very good point, Jonathan. You know, this whole idea of blockchain and trying to actually source something, it's like everyone forgot that at the end of the day, this is all about data, right? And, you know, I got some storage devices, and they don't go to blockchain. It pisses me off, you know what I mean? And so basically the question is, how did you come to this idea to actually do it via the blockchain? I mean, what technology did you have to use in order to actually get to these goals? Because you got amazing goals, and you've gotten there. I am proud of you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. But like for Web3, like you don't really need much like specialized knowledge or hardware. You just need the right operating system and back-end software running to have it all going. Like any processor that can run a Linux distro can become a Fula node, but you need to have some knowledge in it, how to set it up and get everything going. And like I said, like with Box, if you buy a Box, you get the whole package, like plug it in, sign in, and that's it. Like, it's ready to go.
Nice. I see that there are some fake otters in this room, Mr. U1M, but it's good to see you anyway. One question I have is that there are a lot of regular retail people in this space. What is it in for them if there's regular people who could use something like Functionland? And, you know, if they use Functionland, would they feel safe? Would they feel safe?
Yeah, I think so, because every data is like just like when you upload it to Google, like only you have access technically. Like we all know that Google is using your data anyway, and Apple and everyone. But Functionland also, it is encrypted, and you can even say that it's safe in chunks in the pool. So no one other user with a Box or running a node has your complete data. And like with encryption, it's 256-bit AES, I don't know how to pronounce it in English correctly, encrypted. Like even if everything is a supercomputer in your home, you're not going to crack the data.
God, I hate it when people try and use supercomputers to crack data. It makes me really angry. I mean, for example, yeah. I remember when Lockheed Martin tried to use their supercomputer to crack their own bugs in the F-35 program, and they couldn't even do that properly. It makes me angry because as a developer myself, I see, you know, companies coming in here to wreck things. So my question now is, you know, what about these quantum computers? Can quantum computers wreck your party?
Yeah, but quantum computers can wreck technically anything. But nowadays, like quantum computers are in the very early stages of being developed. Like they do sometimes very cool shit, and also a superposition quantum computing things. But it's so early that, and like I said, if they get a feasible quantum computer, then any kind of data protection or encryption is moot. So I would worry for everything when that becomes the standard.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So Batten, you're here representing some regular people. You're a regular person, in my opinion, I think.
Yes.
And my question to you, Batten, is do you feel like there's a need for a storage solution on blockchain one day for your house?
Yeah, because like...
That's funny for Batten.
I definitely think that there could be some uses for it. Why not? However, I do say that with the idea that I'm not as well versed as you guys are in the entire technology as it relates to blockchain and everything else that crypto is involved with.
It just seems to me as a developer that what we're trying to do on Harmony, for example, is we find Harmony just be really fast and also got great scaling up potential. But a lot of these projects, all they seem to care about is metaverse, metaverse, metaverse. But they're not caring about the bits and pieces, which is storage, storage, storage. And the question is data, 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 data. We need to get more data out there. So I think with this solution, there will be more data, right? Now, question to you guys. Do we need more data?
I think we're creating more data. No matter what happens, we're creating more data. Like, imagine whatever you're doing, you're creating data. Right now... just having us talking on Twitter space, we're creating more data. That data's got to go and leave somewhere, right? So what Box is doing is that we're giving developers an alternative to say, hey, guys, you know what? you could have your data leave like in your box at home. You don't need to have your data all over the place and unencrypted somewhere in a big tech data center. It can be in your own space, you know, like, and you have control over it. And that unlocks many possibilities, especially for you guys at Harmony. So you could be like, you plug into Box, and then with the users, you could create applications for them. Because Box is not only a storage device, it also does compute. You see, so for example, at the end of when we'll be launching Box, Box will come with an application that is an alternative for Google Photos. So, and what we want to show is that you don't need to have Google Photos, you don't need to have Amazon Photos. You could actually create your own app and store your data across all the people owning Box.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I see that there's some really great speakers up on here. I see U1M is here. U1M, what kind of otter photos would you want to put on this box?
As long as it has a hat on, I'm okay. Preferably a hat and swimming.
Okay, that's really interesting. So, you know, if you have a lot of personal otter photos, you don't want anyone else to see them, right? You put it on this box. And I think that these box solutions for storage are actually quite interesting, because I know there's a lot of controversy regarding, like, for example, the Daedalus wallet on Cardano, because it's kind of slow. So if I plug this box in, right, and is it a bit slower than, let's say, using Google Drives? It would probably have to be, right? Because basically you're running your own server. Is that correct or am I incorrect?
Depends. Like, we are limited by the compute module in it, Raspberry Pi Compute Module 4, but it's using PCI Express 2. And in the end, the very limiting factor might be your internet bandwidth. Like, if you live in the outskirts, you have bad internet, like, ooh, tough luck, to be honest. But if you're, like, living in the city and having a proper connection, then especially if your pool that you join of other boxes and nodes is local, you might even experience quicker reaction than from the cloud.
That's really interesting. You see, I've always been against the cloud because I don't like my data being shared through the entire system. And me having this very small world idea that somehow I control it, when in fact Google can turn off my account anytime they want. So with Web3, you know, it's a really amazing thing, guys. If U1M has some really personal photos of his otters, maybe Mrs. Otter, Mrs. U1M, you know, he would select this as a solution. But so what is the difference between Filecoin and its encryption versus, let's say, your solution? Is your solution more encrypted in many ways because it's, like, on its own, you can unplug it and many other things?
No, like, the big change is, like, with Filecoin, you really store it in the blockchain. With when using the box and saving in a pool, you're saving on the hardware that you own and other people own. And on the blockchain is only registered that Box X has boxes A data or a chunk of that data, but there is no data stored in the blockchain itself. And we use the possibility, you have the possibility to still say, like, I want it saved on the boxes, on the hardware, but I also want a part of very sensitive data that I want to have accessible till the end of times. So you can save it on the blockchain itself, on Filecoin, for example.
Isn't it kind of expensive, though, to save data on a blockchain?
Yes, it is. And that's why we save the data on physical hardware that you and other people own. And the transactions...
And what do you mean other people own it? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like, other people have their own hardware and set up a node to join the Fula network. Fula protocol, and you just, all those devices together form a pool, and you can join a pool and be like, I have a terabyte of spare data, so who wants his data, his or her?
So in your opinion, is it kind of like BitTorrent in some ways, like when Tron bought BitTorrent, everyone's like sharing latency, so basically it's like proof of latency?
Proof of resource, but I think it's very comparable in the way of thinking behind it. But when as someone saves your data, they will have proof of resource that they saved your data. You will pay them the Fula tokens. And every new block, the protocol will check, has box X still your data safe? Yes, proof of resource has completed. So there are no really intensive verifications, like let's say with Bitcoin, that takes a huge amount of power to compute and everything to verify something. On the Fula protocol, it's all proof of resource. So if you can prove
that's interesting. That you have... So from what I understand through this idea of proof of resource, what we can do is we can have a very large network of just people buying relatively cheap boxes, and we can basically power a network that way. So my question is this. Helium does something like that, right? But in contrast, helium has microwaves. And through the power of microwaves, they can create their own network. Is your network more efficient?
I think so. Like with helium, their way of thinking is a bit different, and you need people in your neighborhood that have those as well. But for us, like, sure, it would be nice if you and your neighbors can form a local pool to have lower latency and everything, but you can join technically anyone. So someone like Ashon was also in this call, he's living in Toronto. If I want to form a pool with him because I really like him, I can. Like, you don't really need someone in the neighborhood with a device. And with Helium, you are kind of limited to the effective that people in your neighborhood, really local neighborhood, have those devices.
That's really interesting. You know, someone was trying to put one of those Helium things on my house, and I had to tell them they're trespassing. Mr. Otter, you 1M, go right ahead, sir.
I think I missed the premise of what you guys were discussing.
We were discussing storage solutions on blockchain and how, for example, in Harmony, we got very fast latency, very low latency, I apologize, very fast finality. And something that could be interesting is if you connect storage solutions to the blockchain, even though the storage devices themselves are offline, it kind of proves that if you share parts of the storage device, that different people can basically put data in it. Is that correct, Jonathan? And that's an interesting way of basically offering storage in the blockchain space. Is that correct, guys?
Yes, that's very correct.
Right. Can I just ask what the benefits of that would be compared to like just storing your data on like an external hard drive offline?
I would argue. Go ahead, sir.
Oh yeah, the main advantage of it is like it's when you have an external hard drive, like you need to back it up like every week, check that the files are still there. If your house burns down with your server and your external hard drive, you don't have the backup. And like to be redundant, most of the people will use a cloud service that uses their data. So we try to eliminate all those issues. Like your data is backed up in your own physical cloud of boxes in your neighborhood around the world. No one has access to it except for you. So even if your box burns down, you just buy a new one or buy another device which you transform into a node, you can access your data. And you're not paying a big tech company to save your data. Like you can choose to form a local pool with you and two friends. And yeah, all of you have one device. And if one of your houses burns down or of your friends, like everyone can still access their data. You have a zero net transaction of saving each other's data. We eliminate all kinds of issues like with the, people call it the rental web, like you pay and to have your data stored and you pay with your data again.
That's amazing, isn't it? You know, I think that one of the use cases of developing on an even compatible chain is that once you connect this, right, the data that you have in an even compatible chain would one day be useful, for example, for NFTs, a bunch of NFTs that you're going to start building. Let's say that you have the copies on your storage device and that let's say that the seed phrases are on the device and other things are on the device. It's basically, as I'd say, spread across different boxes, right? And basically, you're constantly downloading that and syncing it. I feel like maybe that's a good idea. That's a pretty good idea. I'm trying to think of how it really helps Harmony. So my question is, how does it help an even compatible chain like Harmony? Does it scale a network?
Yeah, it's... sustainable. Like if you need some more storage, you can just plug in more storage or more towers, like different towers. We really hope that especially hardware designers with some knowledge can jump in, and it's all going to be open source, the hardware too. They can jump in and design their own towers. Like the whole box idea and the software side of it, all is open source. And the more people jump in, they can monetize their work. Like normally open source is, you spend your free time developing something. But this way we really encourage people, like if you can design a tower for our box, design it, sell it. Like let people, and sell it to people. We are not a hardware manufacturer. We are only doing this to get it out there. And the moment the network is starting and everything, we're going to push the hardware to other people, other companies that can take it over, and we can really focus on the software.
So that's interesting. I mean, I guess one way you would help an EVM compatible chain is that you have a token listed on the EVM compatible chain, right? That'd be cool. I would respect that. That would be very cool. I guess let's open up some more questions. It doesn't have to be about this project in particular. Do you guys have any questions about fast, finality, low latency networks by any chance? U1M, Mr. Batten, any other people who want to come and speak?
I'm not very smart with the blockchains, but I got a question for you, Jimmy, because you're intelligent. If it has been done so far, let me know. But I'm just wondering why I've never seen a an EVM blockchain come out whose supply is based on like pegged Bitcoin, essentially adding an EVM layer to Bitcoin. How come that's never been done?
So you want a tomb fork, instead of it being basically pegged to the native token of a chain, it's pegged to Bitcoin, like an Olympus DAO type situation as well, where like the it's like Bitcoin, but it's a floating token, a floating price token, but it's supposed to be pegged to Bitcoin. Is that correct?
Yeah, where the supply of the blockchain is, you know, pegged to Bitcoin. Yeah. Why hasn't that been done?
Well, I guess first off, that would require rebasing, right? Because there's actually no Bitcoin backing it. And the question would be, is the treasury used to buy Bitcoin? And if so, what would be the tokenomics of the treasury then? Because Olympus DAO and Tomb they were really good for a short period of time. It's like a weird thing. They were good for like a few months. And then a couple months later, they crash like 95%.
I was just wondering, like a BSC style, like a Binance style blockchain that uses, instead of BNB, it uses technically Bitcoin.
I think there's actually some stuff that is like that. There's actually a version of Bitcoin on proof of stake, but no one uses it.
Well, just think it would be, launching NFTs and all these shit coins. With Bitcoin would be where you actually have Bitcoin backing up every bit of liquidity. But
so that's what Stack says that they do, actually.
Oh, really?
So yeah, they do. Two layers. There's a micro, they call a micro layer and a macro layer. The micro layer is connected to the Bitcoin network. And when you do transactions, essentially it settles on Bitcoin, right?
Interesting.
So it's not really a layer two, it's a layer one, but there's a connection between that and Bitcoin. The only issue is finality. Because Bitcoin is kind of slow, the transaction speeds are kind of slow right now. They say it's going to get better, but it's kind of slow right now. Like you could wait 30 minutes for a transaction to go through. And I guess like they theoretically say that you don't need to wrap Bitcoin to use Stacks, that you can use your Bitcoin wallet, and you can send from that wallet Bitcoin, the actual native Bitcoin wallet, to Stacks, and then put it into Stacks DeFi projects. But unfortunately, the TVL on Stacks is ridiculously low. And there's only one DeFi project. Well, there's two, actually. There's only one main one. It's called Alex. That doesn't have a token yet. And it was created by three people. Two of them are from they're all from JP Morgan. One is the head of credit from Asia. And there was like another person who's head of quant research. And another person was like some type of investment banker. And they left. I think they're in the mid-30s. They left and they got their round raise for about $4.8 million, I think, was what I remember. And their raise came in June 2021. Stacks released their first projects in October. And then through their incubator programs, they're supposed to release more. But there's only two major projects. So if you look it up, Alex and Ardarco Finance. Ardarco Finance is like a borrowing lending thing where there's a stable coin. It's called US I think it's called USS. I don't know. It'd be called USAS or something like that. It's United States, whatever that AMM does, stablecoin. And it's supposed to be more efficient than DaiCoin. But again, the problem is that most of their TVL, what's being staked on it is not Bitcoin. So if you read their newsletters, it's always saying that Bitcoin is going to be unlocked through stacks. But it's not really, nothing is going on really, to be honest. But Harmony, in the case of Harmony, for example, the difference is that it's just not connected to Bitcoin at all. And it has sharding and stuff like that. So for developers, I was just in a VC call yesterday. Everyone kind of admires and respects Harmony because you can do things like NFT airdrops every 2 seconds, right? You can do 1,000 NFT airdrop like in 2 seconds and then another 1,000 in another 2 seconds. For the fee would be 0.001 cents.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, but the problem with right now is that people are using it too much in a sense that there's not enough validators and not enough basically data security / servers to support the congestion issues to scale a network, and they're working on that. I would hope that something like Functionland could support that. I would guess like maybe using their server space to create validator nodes. We're going to have Chainstack on next week where they're a validator where you can basically create a node and become a validator. Actually, so they're not a validator. They're a node operator where you can create a node and then become a validator after that. They're supposed to come next week, but in your example, what you're asking, U1M, you're asking for a proof of stake chain that has the same tokenomics as Bitcoin, but the incentive for, so you know, for example, that miners are not mentioned in the white paper, right?
In the Bitcoin one?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware. I never read it.
So there is no explanation of how miners get incentivized. Like there, miners are talked about, but not the miner pools, right?
Interesting.
And yeah, and the reason why was he didn't think that basically there'd be gigantic mining pools for mining Bitcoin. He thought that the blocks were going to be small enough whereby people were be able to basically run proof of work stuff on their own, right? And not game the system by doing these puzzles to basically win the next Bitcoin, correct? I think the problem with that and how it translates to proof of stake is how do you incentivize validators in proof of stake for Bitcoin with that tokenomics? You need inflationary tokenomics that have burning capacity later on. They're fundamentally inflationary, but have deflationary tokenomics built into it long term, right? And that's a way for the price of the token to increase. If people believe in the future the price of the token increases, therefore they think that running a validator, despite the cost, is worth it right now because the tokens that they get will be worth like 5 times more in 6 months, right?
Makes sense.
Unfortunately, that's not the situation that we have. In your case, to have what you're asking for would require a lot of stuff, and this extraordinarily competitive market would be nearly impossible, I feel, to have in the situation that we face, whereby there's 80 different blockchains or whatever, fucking yeah. 30 Bitcoin forks.
I was just wondering, like, you know, you have BNB and you got to go buy BNB on the exchange somewhere and yada, yada, yada. But I was just wondering why there's not something similar where you just peg in your Bitcoin and then you have this EVM compatible Bitcoin, basically.
Okay. So just because you're even, so Terra Luna is the only project that has doubled in token price in this bear market, right? And it is not even compatible, correct? Being EVM compatible doesn't mean that your token price will increase. Actually, if anything, Harmony has an issue where it is a really great chain. I would argue that the fact that it is EVM kind of holds it back because it makes it slower than it needs to be. If it was its own thing, it was not EVM compatible, it would be faster. But the EVM is like built on Java, and it makes things kind of slow because it has its own like compute like rules inside of it. And while Harmony is really good, the EVM needs to get better too, right? So there's a lot of rules regarding how you basically... Oh, shit.
Hello?
He fell in his otter hole.
Like mid-sentence, man. Mid-thought.
Yo, people are me.
Jimmy, you okay, buddy?
Maybe he had a Eureka moment. He was like, nope, gotta write this down.
Jimmy boy.
In the meantime, can one of you just talk about Harmony and like give us an overview of what it is, what you guys doing?
I'm here to learn, man. I know nothing about Harmony, to be honest. I'm just following Jimmy around because the guy's smart.
Yeah, and I collect reflections for a living. That's all I know.
I saw that there was a $300 million grant. Anybody knows what it is on Harmony?
Couldn't tell you if I tried, man. Jimmy's got all the answers, though. He just had an oh shit moment. So.
This space is about to rug because his phone died.
Oh.
Any last words?
Any hardware questions? Ask them.
I will begin handing out my seed phrase one word at a time, and hopefully the space rugs before I get to the last word. I'm going to take my chances.
We're waiting on that first word there, baby baton.
Boy.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me get a pen. Just hold for a sec.
Oh.
Fuck this. Oh, man.
Dude, Jimmy was on a roll, too. For anybody that doesn't know Jimmy, you follow this guy into any space, and he just spits knowledge. Not just freaking crypto, but like real world, everything. Anything you can think of. This guy knows everything. He's a mystical otter.
Hopefully he's okay, though. Well, he was able to mute his mic, so looks like it's probably be okay.
I don't see a little mic with a line through it next to him, so I don't know, man.
Okay, all right, I see it.
Oh, okay. I hope Jimmy's okay. I got lots to learn from this guy.
In the meantime, anybody has like some questions about storage, about compute, about Web3? Maybe, you know, Jonathan and I can share some stuff.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Harmony DevDAO and Function Land, recorded on Thursday, April 28th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. In the darkest of times, when the phoenix arises out of the ashes like some burned up papyrus, open the sarcophagus and release the virus. Got a lump in your throat like tonsillitis. When the flags go up like everyone is righteous, spending government checks, sniffing up the white dust. The previous generation wants to be just like us. Fuck that shit, I'm trying to be like Michaelis. Drop the bias and you might survive this. The mummy coming through to remind your highness. I might just buy up my own fucking island, build a little bunker, then wait for the timer. Countdown to zero, day exploiting. Every exploit in your internet sex toys, intermittent vibrations through the ether. Did you just come? Me either. If you look at the bright side, we're lost at the right time, blindly following stars in the night sky. Part of me might ride away with the prize fight, man versus everything else until the time's right. Unleash the Kraken, no wait, that was crack. Fuck, now everybody feeling all amped up, fucking like bunnies to the national anthem. Ugly little shits eating up all our rhythm. Mishandling the captions, who has the answer? Holding our attention for ransom. Fed up with all the red tape and the boring template, like it matters if it's a blue or red state. Charged every month and we can't even cancel. Feeling distressed? Fuck it, kill the damsel. Fuck yeah, spread it like we're on some undead shit and pass the bitch around like a meme from Reddit.
In the beginning, it was suggested that the mortality rate would be 5% and the numbers are so much higher.
We're not ready for the next epidemic.
And so if your oxygen level falls too low and it cannot be kept up with just what we call nasal cannulas or rebreathing oxygen masks, if you can't get enough oxygen from that, then they will intubate the patient.
Terra Spaces.